Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, today we're going to highlight the all-important topic of financing your retirement. Do you have in place a solid plan to periodically save, invest, and accumulate assets over the months and years until your planned last day of work? Who is managing your portfolio? Are you comfortable with the performance, qualifications, and the costs of your managers? Like so many, is your retirement portfolio concentrated in common stock mutual funds? Is your so-called diversification of assets, in fact, simply ownership of a large basket of stocks? Is this wise? And how much are you paying out each year in asset management fees, clear and hidden fees? Are these fees worth it? And would you prefer to take more personal control over hands-on management of your assets, or are you satisfied with turning this task over to so-called professionals? I don't know about you, but at my age, I can't afford another recession like 2008 and 2009, or maybe worse. And my next guest, serial entrepreneur and self-made multimillionaire Damian Lupo, accumulated eight-figure wealth, lost it, then gained it all back, and he's here to offer advice on how to take control of your investments, protect yourself from recession, gain peace of mind, and avoid hidden financial cancers, as he calls them, which can eat into both cash generation and ultimate surrender value of your retirement assets. And along the way, he's going to introduce us to a handy investment vehicle I venture a lot of us have never heard of, called the Qualified Retirement Plan, or QRP. And Damian Lupo is a serial entrepreneur who started his first business at age 11. And over the past quarter century, he started and owned more than 30 different companies. He built $5 million net worth in his 20s, lost it, and gained it completely in the past 12 months. And he now owns an eight-figure real estate empire, is a five-time author, and a sought-after financial consultant with high-profile private clients. And he particularly enjoys sharing the lessons he learned and the things he wishes someone had told him before he got started. And he's president, CEO, and founder of Total Financial Control, Total Control Financial, I got it wrong there. And Damon's personal philosophy centers on self-responsibility and a conviction that the only path to freedom is through candor, growth, and big vision. And hello, Damian Lupo. It's indeed an honor to have you as a guest.
Thank you so much, Roy. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate you having me.
Well, let's talk a bit about the idea of retirement. You seem to hate that term, retirement. Why is that?
Right. I hate retirement because I watched, this is something that actually hurt me, watching how my parents defined retirement, how they defined their lives, thinking about retirement for years. And I kept hearing, I only have 10 more years or 12 more years, and then I get to live. Because that's what they were saying. They were saying, I get that experience of life after I've retired.
Yeah.
And so every time I heard that, I was cringing, for years, same message. And it didn't resonate. I knew there was something else that could be done. So that by itself was the first trigger that something was wrong with retirement. And really, the biggest problem I have with retirement is we're saying, hey, I'm done contributing. Because if we're doing work that matters and we're doing work that we care about, then why would you stop contributing to the world? If you do, I'm pretty sure the universe is going to be done with you, which is probably why the average guy dies 3 years after he retires.
That's so wrong from two standpoints. First of all, the idea that you can't have any fun until you retire is outrageous, because you should enjoy what you do for a living. Even if you need to earn the money, you can enjoy doing that. And secondly, like you say, you may retire from a particular profession, but you're not retiring from life, and you're not retiring from contributing to others. So that makes a lot of sense.
No, it's there. You're right. There's this idea that we actually can live before that age of 59 and a half or 65. Yeah. We can participate in our lives far earlier. We don't have to wait. It makes me sad to hear people waiting to start living when truly it's a matter of scheduling your life into your calendar.
And if they don't learn to live before 59 and a half or 65, it's not likely they're going to learn that after. But whether the term is retirement or not, all of us at middle age need to prepare financially for the next phase of our lives. And the U.S. election is over, and I know legally you're not permitted to offer specific investment advice, but in general, to use a very bad pun, can you give us heads up on a Trump card that we can use to invest and grow our retirement portfolio?
Roy, you got to bring in the election. That's funny. No, the funny part is I love the idea about talking about elections, and I love that because to me, elections don't matter if we're responsible for our lives and our outcomes, because when you're thinking about elections, I think a lot of people are focused on being a victim and they say, well, if this happens, then that'll happen to me and my life means this if so-and-so gets elected. I categorically reject that. And I say, if you want a life, design it. Don't have one by default based on a D or an R that gets elected for an office.
The ultimate example of that, my wife's sister, 5 years ago or whenever it was, said if Barack Obama is not reelected, she's going to die. And he was reelected, but unfortunately, she did die.
Oh,
so it didn't really help her too much. Not that she wouldn't have if Romney had won. I guess she still would have died because she had cancer, but that's neither here nor there. But in your professional material, you guarantee an upcoming Wall Street crash, a massive correction, and I thought it was interesting why you expect that. Can you tell us why and how soon and how severe? Obviously, you can't predict the month and day, but will this be worse than 2008?
Yeah, Roy, the reason that I'm saying this, and there are a lot of very, very smart people, far smarter than I am, that are saying very similar things, and I believe and I buy in, and it's not about I just think this is coming because of some mysterious unicorn in the ether that has told me this.
Yeah.
This is about math. It's about the laws that are in place that started in the 70s when the 401ks came out, and what they did is they required people at a certain age, at 59 and a half, to start taking distributions, and we have this thing called the baby boomer wave, and Harry Dent talks a lot about this, that 10,000 baby boomers are quote-unquote retiring. They're hitting 59 and a half this year. Every day, 10,000 hit that age, which means on average, every one of those has to pull $1,000 a month out of the stock market because that's where most people have their money.
And that applies to IRAs also. You mentioned
absolutely.
401ks, but it's also IRAs.
And any of those retirement vehicles. So it's sheer mass of demand, supply and demand. If you pull that many billions of dollars out of a market, the market isn't going to continue going up. It's being sold off. So as more and more people are retiring, it has to push the market down. There's only so much stimulus that can keep it floating. So it's not if, it's when. And that's not even talking about all the derivatives and everything else that's much bigger and worse than 2008. So I have pulled everything out, and anybody that I'm working with, that's our first conversation. How much exposure do you want to this thing? Why would you want any exposure to this thing? Because we're going to be in for some very, very painful times if the money is in that space.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot better option out there.
Yeah, and Harry Dent keeps me awake at night sometimes. Get his emails, and I guess the first baby boomers are starting to turn about 70 and a half this year, so I guess you know, it's getting near that point when there will be a significant drain from that. But, are there solid investment alternatives that we should consider? And what should those of us that are investing long-term for life's second half do to protect ourselves now? What are some of these investments maybe we should be looking at?
Yeah, the investments in general are really anything that you can control. So if you're thinking about what we've been told to invest in and that it's for the long term, put your money with Wall Street brokers and keep it in mutual funds. And people constantly think about their financial advisor. And typically we're talking about somebody that had a course over the weekend or a 6-week course. They've got a certification and they're broke as hell. And I go, why are you listening to these people? They're salesmen. That's what they do. They're not really advisors. surprising because they don't know any better. It's their company line. I used to be one of those.
It'd be interesting to ask your so-called investment advisor to show us his personal or her personal investment portfolio to see how
much. That's a great question. No, it's a great question. You want me to buy your thing? Great. Show me how much money you've made doing that exact strategy, and then maybe I'll consider modeling you. But don't pitch me and tell me I'm going to be successful, because you have no damn idea whether that's true or not. And the truth is, if we can start controlling different investments, and this is – so with the EQRP, you've got the choice to take your money out of Wall Street, put it in what ends up being a checking account, and investing in almost anything, whether it's real estate or precious metals or private companies, anything, a franchise, things that you can control. It's perfect for people that are self-responsible. It's a disaster for somebody that's not going to be responsible.
Yeah, I like it when you say the one mission of Wall Street investment advisors and insurance salespeople is to get you to put their money into their system and keep it there so they can take fees every year for life. I like that statement.
It's a great business model for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect because they just keep making the money every year, whether the markets go up or down. They're still buying their second homes and funding a lifestyle. And meanwhile, we're sitting there staring at the television wondering, am I wealthier today? Is there a green up arrow from the markets? Or am I feeling poorer today? Is there a red down arrow? And that's chaos, and it's crazy, and it creates anxiety. And that's not how we want to live, and it doesn't have to be how people live. They can opt out of that.
The other night when the election was first announced, that I think the futures of the Dow was down like 900 points, and then by the end of the day, they were up by 200, and who needs that kind of stress?
No, one of my clients, Roy, was mentioning that about a year ago. We were doing some work together on their whole big vision and their psychology, and they were frustrated because they had a lot of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars. In fact, most of their liquidity was in the stock market. And the question was, do you want to have that experience every day, or do you want to be able to wake up calm, peaceful, in control? And it was an obvious answer.
Well, you suggest this, Qualified Retirement Plan, or QRP, as a preferred example. And what is this QRP thing, and how do you empower ordinary folks with it, giving them peace of mind and security? And by the way, what is an EQRP as opposed to just a plain QRP?
So the difference in the EQRP and just the QRP, EQRP stands for Empowered Qualified Retirement Plan. It's our patented technology that puts everything in your iPhone so that you have digital control of your wealth, your money, the process of being in control. You end up with a checkbook with your money, and it's not just the control, because it's great if you have a checkbook, then what do? And part of this, what you end up with is a lot of centurion expert advice. And that means we're teaching people based on a team of people that have at least 100 years of real experience. Like my real estate, I'm one of the people teaching real estate because I've been there in the trenches. Yeah. It's not academic. I did this. And so I'm sharing what I learned so that you don't have to go out there and make all the mistakes I did. It's not very much fun to lose $20 million. I can assure you.
Well, this QRP is a preferred vehicle for investing for retirement. Why haven't we heard of it? Why isn't there more widely circulated information on it?
It's a good question. People ask that all the time because they go, this sounds too good. Well, of course it sounds too good. It's not shared because it's in direct conflict with what Wall Street wants to sell. They want to sell you the idea that you're too stupid to do your own investing, that you should turn it over and pay them 2 or 3% every single year, which is what they're charging, even if they're not telling you that. So you haven't heard because it takes away the fees from them and puts those in your own account, which is a good thing for you, not for them.
Well, is this EQRP just for companies, or can anyone do this, like a listener who has an old 401k who wants to get the money out of the stock market and invest in real estate? Or is that just for companies, or can individuals do it too?
It's a great question. It's for anybody that wants to go out there and take control. It can be, there's something called a solo EQRP, and that's really what we focus on. It's people that are kind of an army of one, and they get to have that plan. It used to be just for big companies, and the laws changed so that now you have the ability to set this up, and we walk you through that so that 5 days from today, you're sitting there with a checkbook. If you're a business of one, yeah, and you now have your money in your account, it's that quick, it's that powerful, and anybody that is responsible can do this.
Well, is establishing and funding a QRP complicated? Will I need to hire a lawyer and or an accountant to set it up? And I guess it doesn't, you said it only takes 5 days, so it doesn't take a long time, but what kind of advice would I need to hire for that?
So we actually do that process. We have a 5-minute conversation, and in 5 days you have everything FedEx to you, and you're sitting there with it in front of you. So we always encourage people to have attorneys and accountants. They don't need those to set it up. We've done the brain damage. The book I wrote on this was with a tax attorney, and so you've got the tax, CPA, legal all wrapped into the book and the team, and that's part of what we give you. It's the experts that are part of our team that you have access to.
Oh,
so you don't have to go out there and spend thousands and thousands of dollars asking people questions about something they may not know anything about.
Well, this ERP sounds great, but is it expensive? Is there a minimum legal initial investment? And how much do you have to put in it? And what fees would I incur? Is this a one-time fee, or do I have to pay fees every year like I'm doing now to the advisors?
The EQRP is totally transparent, and what that means is you're going to know exactly what you're paying. It's not a hidden, kind of confusing mess of fees that we don't really tell you about, like some firms. Well, actually, all the firms do this.
Yeah.
What we do is it's a fixed fee. So to set it up, it's $2,000. Which is typically less than what most people are going to spend in fees every single year. That's one time. And then year to year after that, it's $300 flat for us to keep you in compliance with the IRS. And that's it.
Oh, I see. And what, is there a minimum amount you have to put into a QRP, or what's that rule?
There's not a minimum that you have to put in there. It can sit there and it can wait for you. You really wouldn't want to set this up unless you were doing something in terms of contributing. Or the cool thing is you can roll over IRAs and 401ks into this tax-free and penalty-free and put as much as you want.
Okay,
and
yeah, that
then,
was the next question
yeah,
I had,
huge.
Whether you could roll over. That's good to hear.
Oh, it's that people love that because all of a sudden they have this trapped money that's in Wall Street jail and they get to control it instead of being stuck. And it typically is dead money that people they're kind of disregarding. Well, all of a sudden now you have the ability to tap into this. And if you ever wanted to, say, get access to cash, you have the ability to write a check to yourself and loan yourself up to $50,000 anytime you wanted today.
Well, what a listener may protest, I already have an IRA. Are there significant advantages of an EQRP over my IRA? I guess you said a couple of them. But
yeah, I'll give you a couple of specific examples of why the EQRP is 10 times better than an IRA or a self-directed IRA, any of those. First off, is you can contribute 10 times as much money with an EQRP. So that means if you wanted to contribute with an IRA $5,000 or $5,500 a year, great, you get a deferral. With an EQRP, you can contribute 10 times as much, over $50,000 a year. That's
wow.
That's one. That's amazing difference because you really can't get anywhere on $5,000 a year. This saves you money, potentially tens of thousands of dollars a year in taxes.
Yeah.
The other thing there's two other things that are massively significant, and that's in what you can invest in. With the EQRP, you're able to invest in real estate and take on debt if you wanted to. With an IRA, you've actually got to pay taxes on the profits if you use debt. You don't have to in an EQRP. That's huge for real estate investors. It could be millions in taxes. And then the other one that people love is that with an EQRP, your retirement plan can buy gold and silver, physical metals, and they can be shipped to you and you get to hold those.
Hmm.
Nobody's holding them for you. Nobody's charging you vault fees. With an IRA, you are required by law to have them in a vault or a bank or something, so you can't actually hold them and control them. People love that.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. But what if you don't really understand investing, or you're too wrapped up in your business or career to give it much attention, or you really don't have the temperament for making hands-on investment decisions? Is the QRP a good idea for you? I would think probably not. But
I agree with you, Roy. If there's no intention to spend time and energy being in control and doing this, it's probably better to not do it and wait until you have some space or you're willing to make that commitment.
Yeah.
And it's really an education process, and you've got to be educated. You can't just say, I'll do this and I'll shoot from the hip.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are times where it doesn't make sense, and that would be one of them.
I guess it's okay to pay a professional to do it if you know what you're paying and you're comfortable with a professional. But
yeah, that's it. You just want to make sure it's actually a professional and not just a salesperson.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have time to delve a lot further into the nuts and bolts of an EQRP, but where can those listeners turn to learn more about setting up their own EQRP? And I know you have a website. Give us that address.
Definitely. What I'd like to do is give you a website, and it's going to be a place where folks can get a copy of the book on the EQRP. I'm going to give it to your listeners free. They can get a copy. We'll ship it out to them. And that way they can educate themselves, and they can call us, and I'm happy to engage and answer questions. And so the website is totalcontrolfinancial.com/Roy. And go there, grab a copy of the book, and we'll send it out to you, and then let us know what questions you have. And if this is a good fit, we'll get you set up and have you a checkbook in your hand in 5 days.
Yeah, I ordered a copy of your book yesterday because I went to your website because I knew we were going to have this conversation. So I'm looking forward to that. And if then what would be the process of setting one up? I know it's a pretty short process once you get started.
Yeah, it really is. The process to get it set up is really a 5-minute conversation because we've streamlined everything and simplified the opposite of what Wall Street does. They try to make everything complex. So in 5 minutes, we get what we need to do, and then we design the documents to give you the power to go and have this control over your money. So once that 5-minute conversation happens, your job is to sign your bank documents when they're FedEx to you, and then be able to write a check. I mean, it's not complicated. It's something we can do.
Yeah, I previewed the book on Amazon where they're selling it, but you can get it for free. Total Control Financial Guide to the QRP, How to Get Checkbook Control of Your 401k Rollover Money Now. And it's really looks like a fascinating book, and I'm looking forward to getting my copy in the mail. But you can order that through, what's that website again, just so everyone has it?
Absolutely. It's totalcontrolfinancial.com/Roy, and it's available for you. It definitely is available on Kindle if you like reading it electronically. It's available on Amazon, and it's wherever you whatever works best for folks.
Yeah. Well, in conclusion, personally, I'd been contemplating retirement for a long time and actually began dipping into some retirement assets when I sold my wholesale insurance brokerage at the end of 2009. Now, I'm not talking about retirement from life, just from what was my primary occupation before, and that's pretty much why I dedicate full time to my present business, middle age renewal training, and this internet radio program. But I always thought I was well versed in retirement options, but up to now I'd never been exposed to the many advantages of a qualified retirement plan, or QRP, and as my guest Damian Lupo would advise you, the QRP is not for everyone, and if you don't have the time, energy, and desire for hands-on control of your own investment decisions, you probably should continue to pay a qualified professional to manage your portfolio for you for annual fees, both stated and hidden. But if you're a hands-on kind of a person, it certainly makes sense to learn all about the QRP. And if interested, I highly recommend Damian's website, totalcontrolfinancial.com. And if you're serious, not just curious, order his free book. And the price is right, free. And Damian's website, they have a number of highly complimental endorsements, and here's one: an investor writes, after years of frustration over lack of control over my own money, all that changed in 2012 when I met Damian and learned about the EQRP. Now my retirement money is 100% mine to invest the way I want. And if you're anything like me, you absolutely owe it to yourself to get a EQRP. And whether or not we're headed for a stock market crash, and it makes total sense that with that retirement, retirees, baby boomers draining money out of the 401ks and the IRAs, it certainly makes sense to explore other retirement investment options. And so go to Damian's website, totalcontrolfinancial.com. You have absolutely nothing to lose and perhaps a lot, including peace of mind to gain. And thanks a million, Damian Lupo, for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Roy. It's been a blast. Really enjoyed it.
And thanks to all of you out there for listening. Now let's go out and totally enjoy the upcoming holiday season. You got started on your holiday shopping yet? It's only a few weeks away. And talk to you again next week on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. We recently celebrated one of the biggest days of feasting, or to put it more bluntly, pig out of the year, Thanksgiving Day. And if you didn't gain too many unwanted pounds, congratulations. But don't put your guard down quite yet. The season of overindulgence is just beginning. Thanksgiving Day is but the opening sprint in our annual five-week food orgy we label as the holiday season. And between now and New Year's Day, there will be so many more opportunities to wreck your willpower. Office holiday parties with loads of tempting hors d'oeuvres and mixed drinks, perhaps followed by a sumptuous dinner, several weeks of fruitcakes, icing covered Christmas cookies, fudge, candy canes, ice cream, all the comfort food that is so available and tempting this time of year, followed by the next big one, the extended family feast on Christmas Day. And then the week after Christmas, give mom, or if you are mom, give yourself a break. Lots of eating out on junk food, pizza, hamburgers, footlongs. Also, you've got to finish up those leftover Christmas fruitcake, candy, and cookies. And then we wrap up the season with a calorie-laden family New Year's dinner after a night of celebration, binge eating, and consumption of alcohol, probably. And as we all know, the seasonal excuses we make to ourselves, well, it's that special time of the year, so I'll ignore calorie counting for a few weeks and enjoy the season, and I'll get back on my normal diet as soon as the holidays are over, and I don't want to offend party host or hostess or the Christmas dinner cook by not eating all that's placed in front of me. And sadly, we also know the consequences. On January 2nd, we're shocked by that chubby image staring back at us in the mirror, plus that nasty New Year's weigh-in that reveals all those unwanted seasonal weight gain. And then we follow up with one more New Year's resolution to take off X pounds in the new year. How many years in a row have we made this same resolution? And then there's loads of self-recrimination. Why do I let this weight gain happen to me every single year? But here's some good news. My next guest, Renee Jones, an ordained minister and counselor, is here to tell us how we can have fun this holiday season and eat well without overindulging and without feeling sluggish, puffy, and guilty on January 2nd. And Renee Jones, after 40 years of yo-yoing up and down on a diet, believe it or not, beginning at age 10, in 2012, she finally, as she puts it, disarmed the triggers of comfort eating, reached her target weight, and has remained on target ever since. And she's a counselor who helps her clients like you and I free themselves from emotional eating and other counterproductive behaviors by addressing their spiritual, physical, and emotional needs. And she has an international private counseling practice serving clients and colleagues in the U.S., U.K., Canada, Germany, and several other nations around the world. And hello, Renee. Thank you so much for your timely visit to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you, Roy. It's nice to be here.
Well, you reveal on your website that over 40 years you lost or regained around 2,000 pounds before taking control emotionally in 2012. And based upon your personal experiencing and your counseling, what is the primary cause of the yo-yo phenomenon that so many of us experience?
Oh, I think it has to do with looking at a diet as a short-term thing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we get to whatever our target weight is, or we get to where we want to just stop doing the diet thing, and we think, oh, goody, now I can have anything I want.
More of a sprint than a marathon, you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, that reignites all those bad habits, and we enjoy the sugar, and it just is a very slippery slope.
Yeah, and then week by week, we creep back up to where we started from.
You know, I have never gained 5 pounds in a week.
Oh.
But I have gained a good 20 or 30 pounds in a year. And
yeah.
It's just that slow creep of a pound here, a pound there. It just sort of inches back on.
Well, what clicked on for you in 2012 so that for the first time in 40 years you were able to maintain your target weight, and better yet, you began coaching others to do the same? What was the difference this time?
Well, I had a coach myself, and she helped me understand how to stop stuffing down my feelings and following it with a food chaser.
I see.
Instead of standing at the refrigerator looking longingly, thinking something in there will make me feel better.
I don't think there are ever any answers either in the bottle or in the refrigerator.
Or the pantry, yeah. But when I was learning this, I would find myself there and I'd think, okay, whatever it is I need, it's not in here. What do you actually need?
Yeah.
And then I was able to deal with the emotions and the feelings and the stuff that was driving me there, and I got free.
Well, that's great. Well, let's turn to the dietary challenges of the holiday season. At Christmas dinner, we all fill or pile our plates with old favorites, and then we eat until we're uncomfortably full and feel bloated. This year, how best can we take control and challenge ourselves not to overeat and leave the table comfortably full? Any suggestions on that?
Well, sure. I mean, I think part of the issue is that we're with family, we're in patterns that we've been in many, many, many times before, and we look at different food as memories.
Oh,
you know, our holiday favorites are just memories encased in pastry or chocolate or some savory package.
Yeah.
You know. It's like we've always eaten this, and this is what we're supposed to do, and we're supposed to feel just sick by the time we get done, and why do we do that? I mean, I enjoy a good feast along with everybody else, but what I finally realized was what I really enjoy about the holidays is giggling with my cousins or some good conversation or a long walk with one of my nephews or the play that becomes cleaning up the kitchen afterwards.
Yeah.
For me, it's about connection with family members and friends who are like family. And if we can focus on that instead of just the food.
That's such a good point, because food isn't really the major part of it. It's the fact you're eating with these people that you don't see very often. Hopefully most of them you get along with.
Hopefully,
yeah. Another strain. Well, the days leading up to Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever it may be, tend to be very stressful. Decorating, shopping, addressing cards, sending the cards, travel, cleaning house, rude, thoughtless comments by visitors. It's also a period full of comfort food temptations, fudge, Christmas cookies, hard candy. Can you please give us your four-step process to disarm the triggers to comfort eating? I know you mentioned a four-step process you have.
Yeah, I call it hang out with your feelings.
I see.
When you're tempted, at least go through this. I mean, you may still want to eat afterwards, but at least stop and think, am I hungry? That's the H. If you can just stop and say, am I hungry? And if the answer is no, go do something else. If you're hungry, then think about it. The A is attraction. What is your current attraction to the food? Is it a memory? Is it just some comfort? Is what is drawing you to it? Is it just available? So you think about that. And then if you're not hungry, what do you actually need? And that's the N in hang. Do you need a hug? Do you need a chat with somebody? Do you need to go play with a dog for 5 minutes? Do you need to walk around and breathe? You know, what is it that you actually need that you're trying to substitute food for? And then G is go. Go get that or go arrange for that, because will help you so much more than just stuffing your face with another cookie or piece of fudge.
Oh, that's a great idea. Well, here's a situation that definitely applies to me, and I'll bet to a lot of others also. I'm consciously trying to control my weight over the holidays, but let's say I give in and eat several Christmas cookies or a calorie-rich fruitcake this morning. I blew it today. Shall I go ahead and splurge the rest of the day and get back on my diet tomorrow?
No, this is like I am off on the wrong path. I'm driving to one place, and suddenly I realize I'm making a wrong turn. Well, there's this thing called a U-turn. Just get back on your path immediately. Okay, you blew lunch. Oh, you blew. You're like me. I used to have fruitcake for breakfast over the holidays.
Yeah.
So stop right there and get back on your plan. And if you want to just blow out all of your calories on Christmas Day,
yeah,
have at it. But on the 26th, get back on your plan.
Yeah. Well, so next time I find myself on the way to Minneapolis instead of Chicago, I guess I'll turn around.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your counseling service. Unlike the vast majority of diet and nutrition counselors out there, you concentrate on the psychology of eating and weight loss. Please tell us how our eating habits are so often connected to our emotions and what in our minds tend to trigger our desire for comfort food. You say certain comfort food triggers may go back to our childhood.
Yes. I actually am almost addicted to peanut butter.
Oh.
And I came by that honestly because both my mother and my grandmother loved peanut butter.
Oh,
and,
boy.
You know, it's a good food, right?
Yeah.
But when my mother and my grandmother both passed away, I had a really hard time with peanut butter because it was so connected with them.
Oh, I...
And I wanted to eat all of it because I wanted to be near them.
Huh.
So I had to stop buying peanut butter for a little while.
Oh.
And it was just that connection of that situation. You know, I talked to a lot of men who love to eat ice cream at night.
Yeah.
And I usually ask them, so after you had done some good work or you got a good grade or your mom and dad, they wanted to reward you in some way, what did they take you out for? And they say, ice cream.
Yeah.
So at the end of a long, hard day, are you rewarding yourself with the ice cream? And they're like, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes just understanding that, recognizing that can begin to change things.
That's so true. Recognition so often leads to the behavior you want when you realize why you're doing something and what the consequences are of doing it or not doing it.
Yeah. But sometimes it's still hard to make that shift in behavior, and that tends to be where I spend a lot of my time because recognition is not redemption.
No.
It's not going to change things by itself. You have to actually change the behavior. So we work through several exercises, and I give them a couple of suggestions for how to do that.
Well, do you have a website where our listeners can learn more about you and your weight loss counseling service?
I do. It is www.packyourownbag.com.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so that's a great website. I noticed on there you have some blogs, but it's also a great deal. I noticed that you offer visitors a free 30-minute consultation by phone, Skype, or FaceTime. How would a listener sign up for that?
Just call me. The number's on the website, or send me an email at Renee@packyourownbag.
Oh, that's great.
And in January, I have a book coming out.
Oh, I was going to ask that you should get a book out because you have so many helpful things to offer, and the book's the best way to spread the message around. When can we look forward to that?
That should be mid-January, and the title will be What's Really Eating You? Overcoming the Trigger of Comfort Eating.
I like that. What's Really Eating You? And that will be available, I presume, through Amazon and Barnes and Noble, places like that.
And through my website, yes.
Okay, so we'll keep in touch and look for that book. Expected to come out in January. That sounds great. That'd be a good delayed. Too bad it's not going to be out for the holidays. But
well, here's the thing. People tend not to buy diet books for Christmas. It doesn't seem to work out that well.
That's true. Well, I notice your primary target client is a woman in her 40s. Do you also counsel us men, or do we have to go elsewhere?
No. I target women in their 40s because that seems to be when weight loss becomes an issue, if it wasn't already. But I have men, too.
Oh, okay. That's good. Well, in conclusion, I love the way Renee Jones sums up her weight loss and weight control philosophy. Once you face your emotional stuff, you no longer will have to stuff your face. I like that. So even before you spend a lot of time and money on a diet plan, you need to ask yourself, beyond required nutrition, why are you eating? Because you're unhappy with your life today, where you work, what you do, or how other people treat you? If so, aren't there better alternatives than munching on comfort food throughout the day or loading up your plate at mealtime? And what are some of the root causes of your sour emotions? And what alternative methods other than eating can you employ to relieve those negative emotions? I think Renee mentioned that before. How about a walk in the park or taking up a hobby? And in closing, here's an idea for this holiday season. Instead of overindulging and letting yourself go over Christmas and New Year's, then making yourself a resolution in January, why not begin weight loss and control efforts right now? Begin by setting yourself a realistic target weight for January 2nd. How much weight you want to lose is totally up to you. It could even just be maintaining your present weight throughout the holidays if you're happy with it. And then eat consciously throughout the season. Challenge yourself to think about why every time you crave a snack or sit down for a meal. And now concentrate on your reward for losing or maintaining your present weight over the holidays. Gift yourself a new wardrobe. Reflect upon how good you feel after a meal when you eat just enough to feed your hunger and not too much. And continually visualize in your mind the positive lifestyle and your confidence as a pleasingly thin person at your target weight. Bottom line, on January 2nd, you'll feel good about yourself and what you've accomplished already for 2017, and you won't be saddled with that diet pressure that you are every year with those resolutions. You'll be ready and able to possibly attack the future. And for those who need help, I highly recommend you get in touch with Renee Jones at packyourownbag.com, and certainly look for her book in January. And what's that title again?
What's Really Eating You?
Well, thank you so much, Renee, for your most helpful comments. I know I've been thinking a lot the last few days about diet and the holidays, and I'm sure all of us will too. And all of you out there, have a most happy holidays season, and don't eat too much. Thanks so much for joining.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.